Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on 10 AM. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. When you wake up every morning just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning! Happy Monday to ya, the 30th of November, 2020. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland. Good morning, Mr. Cleland, and happy holiday season. It is the Christmas season. It is officially the holiday season because we are back post-Thanksgiving weekend.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yep.
Happy holiday season. So the trees are up. We're gonna go right into the Christmas music now. Because everybody, Christmas music is on everybody's dial.
You're dang right.
I see what you're saying. I wasn't even thinking about the holidays at all this weekend. I was thinking about how much fun this weekend was for football.
Oh, well, that's what you were thinking about? Because I was out hunting for a Christmas tree yesterday with the family, doing that whole thing. Like, it's full on. Well, it's fun. Neighborhood Christmas lights are up. Trees are going all over the area, strapped to the top of cars. Hey, we're here, man.
I got no problems with taking that on for this weekend. Yeah. Keep your distractions up and understand you got to get that stuff done because, you know, it's going to carry you the whole month because we had Thanksgiving, leftovers, college football, more college football, NFL football, and more NFL football today. So now it just covers it all.
A lot of, and then NFL football tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot Tuesday also.
You don't forget, we got Tuesday football because the Ravens.
Getting crammed in.
Well, as of right now.
Allegedly.
We put a little asterisk right next to that one because Ravens Steelers scheduled for tomorrow. And 18 positive COVID tests in the Ravens. 18 they're up to.
Yeah.
Holy guacamole. If that number keeps growing, you're going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah. Probably
That's
not.
For sure.
Unless you have a skeleton crew that they're going to try to put together.
Well, ask the Denver Broncos that. Because they definitely did that
yesterday. Here's my question for everybody. How the Ducks and Beavs doing? How the fans? How's everybody? Did you have the weekend? Did you have the weekend you expected? We have the one side and the next. And we get to get after that later in the show, too. Because I think the whole day should just be the Civil War talk.
Well, I can tell you.
Can't we just do that all day?
It's no longer the Civil War. Come on.
Well, that's until it has a new name, that's what I'm going to say.
You know, I was listening to the game right here on the fan with Jerry Allen. And Mike Jorgensen, And even Jerry's been calling these games for, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
He still was calling it Civil War series, and he'd catch himself and be like, man.
Well, it's going to take time to be able to adjust, but until there's a new name, that's really what it is.
Well, no, because that's the reason they got rid of it.
Well, no, that's really
why. Because they don't want it called that.
No, three people didn't want it. Not everybody wants that. That's not true.
That's not true. There's only three people.
It was three guys that said that they didn't want it. There's a faction that do and want. I don't... It's the Civil War. That's what the game is. It'll probably come back later.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I have no idea what the new one's going to be called. I saw that National Riders were, what do they want to call it? The Platta Brawl?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Or the Battle Puss?
What?
Yeah. There's Tom Fornelli. I think it was Battle Puss is what he settled on. It was like a little
Because it's platypus. Like a battle for a platypus. You just combine it.
That's right. Battle Puss. The Battle Puss Trophy.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going to go, but it had a great I'm excited.
Name. It was a fine name.
It was a fine name.
Yeah.
But I bet you I can answer that question where Beef fans feeling really good about today, and they should be. Mm-hmm. Duck fans probably still licking the wounds, and we want to ask you today, RP1 Social today is going to be, did we see a bigger win for Oregon State or a bigger loss for Oregon on Friday in the rivalry game up in Corvallis? Because that was a hell of a football game. And you're right. We could talk about that game.
It's down for us, but it's up for Eugene, and it's right smack in the middle for the Corvallians. Is that what you call Corvallians? Corvalliites?
Corvallisites?
That
sounds like a Corvallians.
Eugeneites? Is that what you say?
Eugenians?
That's a good one. I bet you do that with the Oregonians. That's kind of what the Oregonian people do. What do you call it when you're from Oregon?
Yeah, you're an Oregonian.
Oregonian. So what is it? Is it an Ites or a Onian?
Well, I don't know. Whatever sounds better in your brain.
Or Corvallian. Sure.
Because people from Portland are Portlanders.
Are they? That's what they call themselves? Portlanders?
Yep.
Portlanders or Portlanders?
Portlanders.
Portlanders. Are you a Portlander?
Nope.
Well, why not?
Because I'm from Hillsboro.
What the hell? That's the same thing.
No, I'm from the borough.
It's the same thing.
And I don't even ask me what those people are called, because I'm from there and I have no idea.
Mm.
Hey.
The Hillsborings.
Hillsborings. Don't you call yourself a Bay Arean, Buck? Isn't that, I mean,
Beavertonian.
What?
Ooh, you're a Beavertonian.
I am. As a duck, it's very difficult to be a Beavertonian.
Wait, hold on.
Wait. Explanation.
I live in Beaverton.
Beaverton, California?
No, I mean, I am a Californian. But currently, you don't claim your original spot.
Like when someone asks you claim Bay Area.
Well, but like let's say I went on a vacation right now, like somewhere, and you meet some strangers. Like,
yeah, where would you say you're from?
If they say, where are you from? I would say Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because
that's the region that I'm from. But I mean, that's not where I'm from originally. But I assume they mean, where did you get here from?
And everybody would look at you like, where are you from? Portland. Ooh. Sorry. That's what everybody says right now. It's kind of it's a bad taste in your mouth right now. It is. It's kind of bad taste in your mouth. Look at
it. Do people say that?
Do they?
I don't know.
Do they? Yeah. Do they? Now, it will get better.
I don't know.
Fingers crossed it will get better. It will certainly get better. It wasn't the best year of publicity for this city. I think it can definitely get better.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I think it can get better.
I really do. Where do you say you're from?
When someone asks me,
hey, where are you from?
I actually say Skagit Valley, because nobody knows where Cedar Woolley is.
Nobody knows where Skagit Valley is either, Cam.
Well, no, they know. That's my point. So I say, where's it at? It's hour north of Seattle, hour and a half north. That's where I'm from.
So if you go on vacation right now with your family, you'll say you're from Skagit County?
No, I'll say I'm from the Pacific Northwest is what I'll say. If I was going outside of this region, I'd say I'm from the Pacific Northwest.
Hmm.
And that kind of covers the Oregon Washington corner.
Yeah, because being from Washington, you don't want to claim like Portland, but that's the closest major city for you.
Well, I said Vancouver before, and everyone goes, "Oh, you're Canadian." I'm like, "No, I'm not Canadian."
Well, yeah,
I'm not Canadian. Where's Vancouver? It's right next to Portland. Oh, okay, all right, okay. It's just on the other side there. All right, so I just say Pacific Northwest, because then I get the Canadian thing covered. I get the Oregon thing, and it covers everything.
I wonder how far you go. Like just outside of this little area to where people know Vancouver is Washington, right?
Not very much.
I bet you it is maybe to Idaho.
And then you start going, yeah, no. Nobody from California is going to be saying when you say Vancouver, like, they're thinking Washington. Oh. I'd say maybe you get down to Medford.
A boot.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder how far north you get before they start just thinking Canada instead of Washington.
Yeah.
Like in Seattle, if you're like, yeah, I'm from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Are they like,
Vancouver. The best part about living over there is that you get to have no state income tax, but then you drive over here and then you can just buy everything with no state sales tax.
Perfect. See? It's a nice little double dip. Best You're of right. both worlds.
Double dips.
Let's get to that football that we're talking about, huh? You want to do that?
Okay. All right.
Because we've got a ton that we need to get to today, including, again, our P1 social. Did we see a bigger win for Oregon State or a bigger loss for Oregon? We're going to break down the Ducks and Beavers matchup that you heard Friday right here on The Fan. Jamar Jefferson running wild, making himself a ton of money, and the Oregon defense with an epic collapse yet again. We'll have the mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend of football wide right at 7:15. Your case of the Mondays, so what is grinding your gears? 7:45. Text us 503-250-1080. And rapid fire of every game in the NFL. Plus, we still got to get to, we got to find a way to talk Monday Night Football, which you can also hear right here on The Fan. Seahawks heading to Philly with a 7-3 record and the ability to put a game between them and everybody else in the NFC West. But where we start, 6-0 might not be enough for the Pac-12, but will the committee bend for someone else? Dusty and Cam on The Fan. Well, when Oregon State beat Oregon, many believe that the Pac-12's chances of the college football playoff were dashed right then and there. Beavs don't care. They're celebrating. And the big thing about the Pac-12 was, 6-0, 7-0, that ain't going to get you into the college football playoff. And now we have a question coming out of Saturday's action of, well, it may not have been good enough for the Pac-12 from the get-go. Will it be good enough for somebody else to go just 6-0 and make the college football playoff? Because Ohio State had a cancellation on their schedule, their second one. And on their 8-game schedule, they now only have the opportunity to play a maximum of 8 regular season games. Or excuse me, 6 of their 8 regular season games. Will 6-0 be good enough for Ohio State now is a question for the College Football Playoff Committee.
That's going to be a great question. And the answer that I would assume right away, and I would tell you from the start, you know, they missed the Illinois game. They have Michigan State and they have Michigan left. You know they're going to get the Michigan game in. That's just not going to be a question. Whether the Michigan State game helps them, it really doesn't matter. I don't care at this point. I'm thinking the College Football Playoff. I would bet that the College Football Playoff Committee is looking at this as, I don't care if you have 3, 4, 5, or 6, Ohio State is in. There is no stipulation that says, when we're looking at college football, those top four, that you have to be a Big Ten, ACC, SEC champion who plays in the championship. There's no automatic bid. Okay, there's what we say is automatic. It's like it's automatic for the SEC. We would love to sit out here and say there's an automatic bid for the Pac-12 champion, but we do know that's not true. But when it comes to Ohio State, if there's one program that can be undefeated with 3 to 4, even if they had 4 wins, I'm telling you right now, if they just canceled the rest of their season and said we're playing, they would still get in the college football
playoff. You're kidding. No, I don't think. Really? You think with 4?
Yes. Yes, and what would stop the committee from doing it? Protocols? What would stop them from saying that Cincinnati's better than them? And most deserving.
I think
we're going to go, okay, maybe this team should have played enough. The committee's never come out and said there's a minimum number of games that they need to evaluate. This is an eye test. The college football playoff has always been about an eye test. Yeah. It's not about most deserving or best team that we think is good or from the group of 5 that we think is working their way up. This is an eye test, and Ohio State has passed the eye test already.
Well, and I think that goes into the body of work.
Again.
And I think that is where, I think when you only have 4
super
games.
Super subjective reason.
For sure. But it is a body of work in 4 games as opposed to, look, when BYU and Cincinnati are all said and done, they're going to have, you know, Cincinnati will have, what, 10 or 11 games on their schedule. BYU will have 10 on theirs. And you sit there and you go, okay, now we're getting into a body of work. I agree with you. But this will be a conversation even if they were to have 4 wins. But they're going to get at least one more in.
They're in. All they got to do is play one more game. They're in. It doesn't matter. And first of all, ask yourself truthfully, okay, Ohio State comes out and plays Oregon. We know that they're going to Oregon. From what we've seen already.
Oregon's defense?
Oh, my God. They would have, I mean, I don't know if they would have stomped a hole in them, but it would have been a game of, there have been some points in the game. Let's just call it that. There would have been some points. We don't know what the score would have been, but Ohio State is good. We do know that. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. I want to see Ohio State play Alabama. I want to see them play Clemson or Notre Dame right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to see BYU, Miami, Cincinnati, or Florida, no. Or Texas. Florida, I mean, I'm kind of curious about Florida if they get a chance, but they'll get it to play Alabama again.
And that's where
I don't want to see these other teams, and neither do you as a fan. You know what? Wouldn't it be great if Cincinnati? No, it would not be great.
See, this is where it would really get interesting, though, is that four games may be enough to where that they're having a conversation. The body of work, is it better than what Cincinnati and BYU did? But you could sit there and look at Florida, and they could go, yeah, the body of work for Florida. I mean, they played, you know, where they're already at eight games right now.
If
they get to 9 or 10, you'd be like, okay, well, they played 9 games and they went 8-1. Mm-hmm. Ohio State only played 4 or 5. This is a very serious conversation, because if you look at Ohio State, didn't everybody at the beginning of the year think Ohio State was one of the best teams in
Absolutely.
The country?
Absolutely. No question.
And have they done anything to prove otherwise?
No.
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 They really haven't. And no. This is why you sit there and you go, for everything that we don't like about the Pac-12 and the way the Pac-12 is framed out here, no. Reality is they don't have a team that is in that conversation for being in the top four. So if you are good enough to be in that conversation, it doesn't matter how many games you play.
No.
You'll be in that conversation. See Ohio
talent.
State.
It's about talent and how well you're, and it's not just also about the brand, but it's the respect of the program. But every time they're on national television or every time they play in a game, they have that kind of talent to showcase. And you can yeah. see. I always use the little emoji of eyeballs looking, because I get really exhausted with the conversation of most deserved or, oh, this team has this, this, and this. Use your eyes. Just watch football. When you watch Ohio State play, they are elite mm-hmm. in a lot of places. They're elite in a lot of places that other programs are not. Yeah, can they slip up because they're 18 to 22-year-olds? Of course. Yeah. But there is not a team where Ohio State sits. You know, Clemson, Texas A&M, all those other teams after them. There's not a team Ohio State wouldn't just clobber that's behind them. I mean, all of them. All of them. Or it would be a very, very, very good game, and Ohio State would come ahead because they just have that kind of talent.
Well, we've seen them play a tight, what is considered a tight game against Indiana. They were up 35-7.
They went to sleep.
Well, I know. Yeah.
And you're right. You're right.
No, a lot of folks were saying, oh, Indiana kept it close.
Watch the game.
It was 35-7.
Watch the game.
In the third quarter.
Yeah. And no, and Indiana battled back. Indiana has like 1 3-star player. It's a bunch of 2-star players against 5 stars everywhere.
Ooh, you want to hear my quote of the week? Yeah. And this kind of coincides with the Oregon State game as well. Breece Hall, he's the running back for Iowa State. He said five-star culture versus 5-star players.
Sure.
You know, and that's kind of like the, I love that saying from him, mm-hmm. but that's, I mean, that's where Indiana was. Yeah. Guess what? Ohio State has 5-star culture and players though too.
Yes, they do.
And that is what Alabama has. It's
yes,
what Clemson has.
Yes, they do.
It sure as heck appears to be what Notre Dame has too.
Oh, Notre Dame, not.
My goodness.
The thing about Notre Dame and what Brian Kelly has done there is that the academic stringencies to get into that university and then be able to take the kind of talent and elevate that and play at the level of being a top 5 program, Brian Kelly's done. He's been amazing what he's able to do. Try to recruit to Notre Dame compared to recruiting to other places. It's South Bend, Indiana. I know it's the Golden Dome, and it still holds a little bit. But it is hard to win there, well, especially now that you've joined a conference. I can't see Notre Dame ever coming back out of that independent model. And why would they ever do it again?
Independent?
No, no. Yes. Why would they ever go back to being independent? This has elevated their program because now it brings in the Eastern Seaboard with recruiting. You're matching up versus Clemson. It's just the most brilliant move for them joining up by doing that. Now, will they go back? And I understand they have a partial ACC schedule, but it might be full time.
Yeah, well, they get more money though to be independent.
Well, they get the USC game and the Stanford game, but you can still have those as non-conference games.
No, I'm talking they get more money being an independent than they do as a member of the ACC because they get their own television deal with NBC that they don't have to share with anybody, and that's a big sticking point for them.
I understand. And when it comes to making money, that's very important too.
Yeah.
But if you can make up those gaps and be in the college football playoff conversation and make some money for those two games, it might benefit you.
Well, they are in the college football playoff conversation, even not being in the conference. Like, they always get the benefit of the doubt no matter what Notre Dame does. Yeah. I mean, they've made they've made the playoff before with being an independent. And, you know, that was, oh, they can't be done. Now they got housed in the playoff when they went. What was that, 2018, 2017?
I think we knew going into this year that because of what the Big Ten did, their only goal was to get Ohio. This, the whole job of that conference was to get Ohio State into the playoff, to get money and to get the notoriety. The Pac-12 came on the back end, and they just jumped in to say, okay, we'll give a courtesy together. So, you know, we're doing a good job out here, doing the best we can. But all these other programs and all the other conferences that decided to play, they deserve the benefit of the doubt over any other team other than Ohio State. They do. But Ohio State's going to get the nod over everybody else.
Wait, why does the conference with those conferences get the
nod? Because they pushed through and had September and October to kind of figure it out and get a few games in. And you could see that it helped Texas A&M. It helped Clemson. It certainly helped Florida and Cincinnati. All those teams that do that. And I know BYU sitting on the outside. BYU, you go play in a New Year's Six Bowl. You might not even get that. But if you do, that's great. That's great. You did a good job. You've played some opponents. I'm not going to give you any credit for who you played, but you played a schedule and you went out and got it done. So you're going to get a good bowl game. And you deserve that. Deserve that opportunity. But if we're talking college football playoff, Ohio State doesn't matter. They're good enough to get in there.
And that's why I think that this is where the disqualifying how many games you played, if you're good enough to get in, you're probably going to do it.
Yeah, it's about the four best teams, isn't it? Not who deserves to be in. It's about the four best teams.
It's going to be interesting, though, to see, because Ohio State's margin for error is none, and it's not even their margin for error. It's they're now relying on Michigan State and Michigan to get their games in against the Buckeyes.
Just don't screw it up, huh?
Well,
yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't know if
what
it's
would you do for Jim Harbaugh? Would you like, all right, fudge some tests and, you know, I don't know.
I said that Friday night. It's like, hey, look.
COVID fudging is what you're trying to say here. Are you going to pull the Florida State?
If this rivalry is as big and as nasty as you think,
and you're sitting there the
last game of the year, Ohio State needs a game to get into the playoff, and they're like,
be spectacular.
Oops.
Sorry. Day of. Yeah, you know, Mike Norvell this
thing? That would never
day
happen.
Of in the morning, wake up.
By the way, Dabo Swinney, how about this? A third straight game for Florida State has been canceled due to COVID.
Yeah.
So, Dabo.
They'll get a chance in their ACC championship game. We get to see a rematch.
My goodness. A rematch of Notre Dame and
Clemson.
Sign me up for more of that.
Please.
As well. As the weekend shook out, though, we did see Northwestern. They got eliminated from their playoff consideration because they got beat by Michigan State. And the Pac-12 is done as well from the playoff. Did we see a bigger win for Oregon State or a bigger loss for Oregon on Friday? 503-250-1080. We talked Ducks, Beavs, after Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text Dusty and Cam at 503-250-1080 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. Did we see a bigger win for Oregon State or a bigger loss for the Oregon Ducks on Friday? 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. A hell of a win and performance by the Oregon State Beavers, as heard right here on the Fan, as they topped the Ducks in come from behind fashion. 41-38 behind 226 yards from when Jamar Jefferson on 29 carries, couple touchdowns. What a performance that young man had, and what a great win for the Beavs.
Well, it's a huge win. It's a program-changing win. It's a game-changing win. Jamar Jefferson is the best player in the Pac-12 offensively. He's fantastic. He's a mutant. back there. He's unstoppable. He's got great gifts. He's got great vision. He's got great balance. He's explosive. And he just pops one for 82 yards, and you just left everyone in the dust. And you went from the start of that run, and you know that's been the bell cow. That's the thing that Jonathan Smith has had. It's a luxury to be able to turn around and turns it around and hands the ball off to somebody like that. It just makes everything, it's just an engine. I can go with so many different cliches and thoughts and words about this was a huge win for Coach Smith. I loved that hire. Loved it from the start. He's the brightest mind when it comes to being able to adjust offensively to your talent around it. Okay, he's learned from the years of putting in the time. He's cerebral. Yeah, he's quiet. Okay, he's not demonstrative. He's not got all the crazy sayings and the emotions and all of that. But I don't know. I watched that locker room after that game was over. Those Oregon State Beavs were pumped up, and they deserved to be, because going into that game and going into this season, when there was a restart, Oregon's the best team in the whole West Coast. They were. Best talent, best recruiting, coming off a Pac-12 championship game. They were riding high. But you know what they're not riding? Defense, because they don't have any. And that was garbage. You give up 532 yards. Okay, that's inexcusable from a high-talent team, but it also shows you about the heart and the fire. And then when I saw an Oregon State play Washington early in the beginning of the year, okay, one call away from winning that game, this Oregon State team not just overachieved, they've played very well, and they deserve all the credit.
Yeah, they are. Look, they're almost 3-1 at this point.
I
mean, they are a call away from it being a better conversation. Is this team 3-1 as opposed to right now they're 2-2? And they look, B fans, I know a few of you out there were like, hey, we're close to being 4-0. No, Washington State handled you, but you are really close to being 3-1. And that is something where this team is continually getting better. It was a staple of the Mike Riley programs. As the season went on, you got better, right? This is the exact same thing with Jonathan Smith being there. And there's no quit in this team. That was a hell of a fight and a win for Oregon State, because we talked about it against Cal, how there were those moments in the game where if teams of Oregon State passed would have rolled over and it would have been game over time. Mm-hmm. The same thing happened on Friday night. I mean, look, the final score is 41-38, and that was a confusing final like half hour of the game from what Oregon was doing to what
killing.
The Beavers were doing and not handing the ball to Jamar Jefferson to the officiating. It was so confusing. But let's not forget that the score was 31-19. Right. It wasn't like, I mean, this was a game where, you know, Oregon State was in control. It was 31-19 and they fought their way back into that game. And that to me is a sign where you sit there and you go, you made Oregon pay when they made mistakes.
Yeah.
This team didn't quit fighting.
No, they didn't quit fighting. The most glaring thing that's happened this season with Oregon is their inability to really put a team in where you watch it. Even the Washington State game, they played very good in the second half and was able But they didn't feel like you just stretched away from it where you just clearly got much. Now, guys were hurt. Look, you lose C.J. Verdell. That's a big deal in the backfield. That's a really big deal. But you can't put enough fingers in the air and start pointing back and forth and asking the question of, did you expect this defense to give up the kind of numbers on the ground that they have?
Nope.
They're up front. There really is, guys. You know, I could tell you on the offensive line that they had to return a lot of starters when we're talking about Oregon. Okay, they didn't have anybody to return. Their offensive line is being replaced. You're replacing your quarterback, which he's played very well this entire year. You have veterans on defense. Okay, you have guys up front. There's no way that Kayvon Thibodeau and Jordan Scott and all of those guys should be the leadership. Yes, I know it's Noah Sewell's your best backer. He's a freshman. That's a little bit of a concern, but he's playing above his skis. Your secondary, you're getting pushed around, physically pushed around. On the ground, UCLA ran it all over you. Okay, everybody just ran it all over you, and that's a frustrating thing. But you watch the best back in the conference, and you go, "I get it. I get that Jamar Jefferson is good because he just ran all over."
Yeah, but it's also the offensive lines are really putting him on the heels, and like Jordan Scott and Kayvon Thibodeau, right? When they're getting double teamed, somebody else has got to win. But that somebody else has got to win a battle.
This isn't Alabama. This isn't Ohio State. This isn't. Stanford, well, this is Stanford, UCLA, and Oregon State that are pushing you around up front.
100%.
That's not supposed to happen.
No,
according to the recruiting coordinators and the recruiting, that's not supposed to happen.
Well, it's not supposed to happen from what you saw just from last year from guys like Jordan Scott and Austin Follow You, right? And that's where you sit there and you go, replacing Troy Dye, replacing Lamar Winston, replacing guys like Drayton Carlberg, those are actually bigger losses than what people were giving that credit for, because it's not just the fact that, you know, Noah Sewell is coming in as a true freshman, but you also lost Justin Flo, the other five-star freshman linebacker. And those are the two dudes. Where's everybody else at, right? Yeah. Where's Isaac Slade?
They're tucking their tail is what's happened, because when you get run on like that, that means you quit. You physically quit. If you're getting pushed on like that, that's all the credit to Oregon State. All the credit to that group up front. They wanted it more. In fact, it took a quarterback sneak to win it.
And it's amazing how easily they're getting pushed around on the outside with that setting the edge and just getting washed out. Yep. It is amazing how with ease the last 2 weeks UCLA and Oregon State have done that.
We asked the question, bigger loss for Oregon or bigger win for Oregon State. This text says it's a bigger win for the Beavers because they have been pretty terrible, but it's also a big loss for the Pac-12 as a whole.
Because Oregon was the...
I'm assuming because of potential playoff perception.
It's never going to happen. I've said it from the start of the season, is that there was never going to be an undefeated team in the Pac-12. I still feel that. Unless something catastrophic happens where Colorado figures it out or everyone else gets canceled and Washington walks into some... But realistically, if everybody played each other, nobody was going to go undefeated. There's too much parity. Okay, teams are too close to each other. You can't go in and out. You see the differences between the USC and the separation between what USC does to Utah. Then Utah pushes Washington. Washington's got to come all the way back. And Oregon State pushes wide. Then Oregon comes in, barely beats UCLA. There's just everything's too close.
Big loss for the Pac-12 in that your even conversations of relevancy are gone. And it's only the second week of the college football playoff rankings. And that is the conversation, like, the Pac-12 is out of that conversation. That's where it's a big loss for the conference as a whole, is you are no longer even relevant for a top 10 conversation at this point. If there was an 8-team playoff, the Pac-12 wouldn't be in that conversation as it sits right now.
I know. You're not relevant out here. Okay, just be good enough to win your conference. Be good enough in college football to win your region.
Well,
right now,
the counterpoint to the not being, it definitely hurts to not be relevant, but this text says it's definitely a bigger win for OSU. Oregon, though, would have embarrassed the Pac-12 had they made the playoffs.
No question.
Ducks defense is terrible. And so, if you're talking about relevance, that's nice, but if you get in and you get your butts kicked, is that any better?
Well, this is why you play the games, and we've talked about talent and the kind of talent, the kind of returning talent that Oregon had. And if you go by that, an eyeball test, sure. But once you see it on the field, then you got to step back a little bit, reevaluate, and say, all right, where can this Oregon team get better? Certainly they got to get better on defense. I like their offense a lot. I think they have big, big jumps on offense. But when you lose your talent, you lose C.J. Verdell, and Tyler Shucks played great. I think he got bad interceptions. But that last possession to give Oregon the ball back, I don't know if that was Coach Moorhead or Coach Cristobal saying run the ball, but then they throw it on that third down to give him a shirt. Come on. You gave Oregon State an extra timeout. You didn't even do that. That was one of the worst three-play possession I've ever seen. It was horrible.
You mean the 23-second drive?
Yeah, horrible.
It was not good.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And this is the thing, is that the timeout and throwing on third down really didn't matter because Oregon State didn't even need the timeout.
No, but to have that extra one in your pocket.
I know.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, but that was the thing, is that it was like,
you didn't know they was going to need it or not.
But their run defense was so bad, and I think they knew it, right? They knew that they were going to get gashed no matter what. So that's why I think you throw it.
Yeah.
On that third down. But the fact of the matter is you were only able to muster 23 seconds. And let's give Oregon State some credit, though, for, hey, buckling down defensively and making a dang stop, right? That was pretty impressive.
Oh, it was very impressive. But you knew, because that's the signature of what Oregon did, is that Oregon State sold out because they knew they were going to run the football. So they sold out, they blitzed, they did everything they can, they made great tackles for loss. And you just, the amount of, all you had to do was get one first down, the game was over for Oregon. One first down.
And this is where I think it is. You're looking at a guy in Tyler Shuck. He took a lot of heat from fans on Friday night. But here is the thing about it, is you were asking a guy in his fourth start to be perfect because your defense gave up 41, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the interception and the double coverage where that isn't a ball you should probably throw.
It's a bad throw. Yeah. Guys make bad throws.
That's bad. Yeah. You missed Jalen Redd on that third down where your drive only lasted 23 seconds. But you're asking that young man to be perfect in his fourth career start. And this is where you sit there and you go, your defense can help you out a heck of a lot by alleviating a lot of that pressure to where he doesn't need to be perfect. He's been pretty dang good for the Ducks so
far.
Guys,
there is zero excuse to give up 532 yards if you're an Oregon defense. You can find don't try to sell me anything that they're young or anything at all. Don't try to figure it out. You've got stomped on the ground in two straight games. And that in the film room is pure embarrassment. It's embarrassment for those guys, and I know it hurts them because they're looking at each other, looking back and forth in the meetings, and they're going to watch the game film, and it's going to be painful. Yeah. And as a coach, I keep rewinding it over and over again.
You know, one of those things, too, is that it's like they're getting to the right spot, and then they just get physically beat, right? Yep. Like when we're talking about getting pushed out, you said, you know, getting pushed around, they'll get to the right spot, then they just get pushed off it. Or how many missed tackles where you're in the right spot, you just get, you know, man on man. They win pressures? That battle.
You have one sack. Where's the sack numbers? You're not getting to the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Thibodeau got his first sack of the year.
You have one sack.
Yeah. And that's been the story all game or all season long.
No so tackles far. For loss. I mean, come on. You had three tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. 503. They're playing on your side of the line of scrimmage.
503-250-1080. Bigger win for Oregon State. Bigger loss for the Ducks. Dustin Kam on the Fan. 503-250-1080. That'd be the Fan text time. Bigger win for the Beavs, bigger loss for the Ducks. Friday night in Corvallis. 41-38, I heard right here on the Fan. It was a meltdown, too.
It was kind of eerie. And the guys.
Shelly Smith's weird story.
The guys calling the game from two separate places in two. Come on, Gilmore's insufferable.
Rod Gilmore, I don't know if he just doesn't care.
He is insufferable.
About the Pac-12.
Just give up, quit, just get out of it. Because he's a Stanford guy.
Does he just not care about the Pac-12 or does he just not care about his job? Because I only see him on Pac-12 games, and he doesn't.
God.
Like, I watched him on the USC game last weekend, and last weekend he was just like.
Dreadful.
I didn't understand it. Some of the things he was saying, and then remember that that's the game where the USC Utah game, it went out like they lost their screen and it went black, and they had he and Dave Fleming, bless Dave Fleming's heart,
Dave Fleming just fighting this guy back and forth too. He's like, this has got no support.
And so you're sitting there with Dave Fleming and he's like, oh, okay, I'm trying to call this thing on via Gamecast, and Rod Gilmore's giving him nothing. And then he came in this Oregon game and he didn't even know he didn't even know some of the best players.
Well, I get it. Some of this stuff is hard to do, but he was just brutal.
And
just
how about
back-talking their analyst, their rules analyst, and it just, everything was bad.
How about Shelly Smith's weird story about her niece getting hit in the head with an ice ball?
I'm like, what is happening here?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
It started
That's
weird.
Why you turn on 1080 The Fan and listen to the game here.
Yeah.
That's why you do that. Listen to the pros do it.
It started super weird with, even at the very beginning, the official had problems with his mic. And he was like stammering over his words on they had a clock issue at the very beginning. And that continued throughout the entirety of the game. Officials had zero control of what was happening on the game or the rule book.
So bad.
This text says, it's an exhibition season anyways. Really nice win for the Beavs, but Oregon was vulnerable as they've been since Helfrich left. And give the Beavs credit for taking advantage of that.
Excuses.
Look, this ain't a throwaway
year. You
got
your butt whooped. Okay, this isn't about vulnerable bullcrap. I call extreme bullcrap on that. You're a better organization. Better recruits, more money, flashy, which, by the way, those are the worst uniforms in the history of sports that were shown on this weekend.
Hard disagree.
Yellow is the worst color in the world. It was awful. It was horrible. Their greens are great. The Polynesian ones were awesome. The Ohana uniforms were awesome. That combo, hideous. You deserve to lose in that hideous combo.
Very good look, I thought. But they were. They were really good looking
uniforms. Greens. All greens are great.
This is the thing. It's not a throwaway year for a program like Oregon
Never
State.
Never a throwaway year.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Ever. Ever. No such thing. No such thing as a throwaway year. Ever.
But this, I think you've even said it on the show where it's been like, this year doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It'll have the big asterisks. And I think that's what that text is kind of leading to, in that I don't think it is for a program like Oregon State, because that can be a defining win for a program like Oregon State. This is going to be the issue here, is that, like, with Oregon State, you mount these wins, and this is a huge win for building this program up. Yeah. Because guys like Jamar Jefferson, even though he will get in next year, he's not going to come back because he's making himself a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
First
round pick.
Hamilcar Rashid is not going to be coming back. You're going to be missing big parts of this team next year. Mm-hmm. But confidence is a mofo, and you can build off of wins like this one against Oregon and moving forward. Look, the Beavs already hit their Vegas over-under. Remember, it was a win and a half?
Yeah.
And they're still moving forward. You're talking about a year where bowl eligibility, there are zero wins to qualify you for a bowl. So all they need is a bowl team to sit there and be like, I like what they are, a bowl to sit there and I like that team from the Pac-12. Oregon State could go bowling this year, and that is huge for this program.
Also, too, hats off. I can't give enough of a shout out to Jefferson. What he did, he got himself paid just by. So anyone that says it's a throwaway year, you tell me Jamar Jefferson just found a way to get generational wealth because of how well he played. A couple guys opted out of Oregon. Do you really think if those players come back, Brady Breeze, okay, Penei Sewell, that maybe the energy of this team is different? Maybe that leadership of that veteran experience who had won a championship, is there going to be different? Yes, 100% different. So all those seniors that left, Washington had a couple guys that jumped ship. Okay, but those, some other guys just stepped right up and did it. But this is the difference, is that, yes, it means so much to players and an organization. If you don't play this season, we don't get to see Jamar Jefferson and what Jonathan Smith and the rest of the Oregon State Beavers just did to Oregon. We don't get to see that. Who elevates your recruiting, who says, you know what, I want to go be part of that, what they're building there. And by the way, just look in the locker room after the game, what Coach Smith tweeted out. Let me know if you think that doesn't matter to those guys.
Well, and here's the thing is with
don't pee in anyone's Cheerios this morning about that.
You can't diminish the impact that three-fourths of that secondary being gone has. I mean, I think that is being highlighted right now, and that if you have a weakness in the linebacking core, right, the ability to have, you know, whether Thomas Graham and Javon Holland and Brady Breeze, you know, if they were to be with Diamador Lenore in that secondary, you could just trust those guys on the back end to do their job, and you don't need to give them much help. And that is, you're starting to see they're taking their lumps on the secondary as well. It's not just a run game issue. It's at all levels of this defense that they're getting hurt. It ain't going well for Oregon's defense.
No, it's not. It's not a great day to sit down there and watch that film.
And that's why this isn't a throw year. This isn't a throwaway game for a year for Oregon either, because they need to grow big time on that side of the ball.
And they will. And all these teams are going to get better. The Pac-12 guys just doesn't have enough current talent to separate themselves against the top four in the country, or the top five.
Right.
We need to keep getting in the realistic point of view. I said this 5 years ago, and I've been saying it every year. It's not about caring more out here. It's just about talent. And you could be really good on the West Coast. And that's what we're looking for. Looking for really good teams on the West Coast to continue to win and be very, very good. And eventually, occasionally, once in a while, you get to be in the college football playoff conversation.
503-250-1080. That'd be the fan text. And while more on this coming up as the show goes on, bigger win for Oregon State, bigger loss for the Ducks. Coming up next, though, the NFL's setting an example. But is it the right one? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.